Welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast.
And welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast, Monday, June 17th, 2019, show number 237.
Here are your hosts, Steve and Lee.
Thanks for joining. I'm your host, Lee, in New York, and in the safe suburbs of Eastern Massachusetts, we have Steve. Steve, I screwed up already. It's show number 238. How dare I short us a single show?
Ah, it feels like 239. But I was actually with a friend of the pod on Saturday at JC Classic 06, better known as John C. And he was just like, when are you doing the pod again? People are begging for this.
People are jonesing for their baseball fix. I think it's our time, Steve. As we talked about in one of the early shows, you know, when you're going through
early
the
shows
Stanley
this
Cup-
first time around, or early shows, the original early shows. Well, we were actually popular, and like people liked listening to us, and people cared about us, and no one cared if we did a show or not.
Early, is this? We've done this since 2013, right?
Yeah, the Red Sox magical run of Shane Victorino and Mike Napoli. That was our first one.
Not the early years of the podcast, the early parts of 2019, year six of the podcast.
When we were going to do this every week, and then we only did it like three times already.
Yeah, I think we realized we didn't hold true to our own, not original thought, but the fact that baseball doesn't really start till one morning day.
Yeah, I have six kids, too. Like, I gotta keep track of them.
Well, happy Father's Day, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Do you know the pizza man? Okay, this is weird. The pizza man, we ordered some pizza last night on Father's Day. Pizza man drops off the pizza and he kept on wishing me happy Father's Day. I'm like, you don't know my situation. And then he said, hey, I used to live in this house. And then he would, like, my house was remodeled, not to brag or anything, maybe a little Property Brothers type flip or something. But he was like, I would really love to see what the inside looks like someday. But he goes, but I would never dare to ask. I'm like, bitch, you just asked. And it left me in an awkward situation where I'm like, do I let this stranger into my house? I mean, I watched that Netflix series about the pizza man who blew himself up at the bank. Like, I don't know what this guy's situation is.
Also, this ain't Chip and Joanna Gaines HGTV reality bullshit, man. You watch that on TV. You don't go into another man's home to see a renovated house.
I know. And this guy was like, oh, when I lived here, like, there was a bedroom downstairs. I'm like, well, there ain't a bedroom downstairs now, so you got nothing to look at. And he was like, and the house was purple. And I'm like, well, thank Christ you moved out.
Well, look, they say, you know, never trash another man who's making a living. But, interesting that he went from owning that house to being a delivery man in a small to medium-sized Eastern Massachusetts town.
His ex-wife's father owned the house.
Got it.
So, and then he was, just when he was like, all right, I'd love to see the inside someday, but I would never dare to ask. I'm like, you just fucking asked. And I'm like, yeah. And then, like, another person that lived here one time came by. Like, everyone and their mother has lived in this house before, apparently, and they all want to see what the inside looks like.
Well,
I'm not allowing it. I'm putting my foot down.
I think you got to put one of those beware of dog signs on your house.
I have a vicious cat, so jungle cat.
Well, hopefully that will protect you against a serial killer meth head. But anyway, in better news, we are back. I think we're going to get into a groove. I don't think we should promise what we did in the beginning of this season, Steve, where we said we would do it every week. But
did you go anywhere fun during our hiatus?
I did.
Where'd you go?
I was fortunate enough to travel to Pebble Beach last week to see the 119th U.S. Open Championship won by Gary Woodland, an everyman.
G. Woods.
Did you see the background on the guy? He was a basketball player at a D2 school, and then they played Kansas in one of those, like, November.
I saw Jay Billis tweeted about him playing at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, and they got demolished by like 40 points, and that's when he decided it was time to maybe stick to golf. Yes.
Speaking of golf, I'm in a little predicament myself with involving golf, where I'm on a new team at work, started a new job a couple months back, and my team is really into golf. And they're just like, oh, Steve, you should come out and play golf with us. And one's like, oh, yeah, I'm a 3 handicap. And I'm like, I don't really know what that means, but it sounds good. Is it good?
That's very good.
Yeah, and I was just like, you don't. Like, I'm just thinking of, like, these guys on, like, a par 5 shooting, like, a 6, and I'm shooting, like, a 37 or something, and then just, like, hating my guts. So I need to figure out, they want to go on Friday, so I need to really, I really need to figure this out quick and how to get out of this. I bought clubs, and I've been going to the driving range with our friend Andrew. He's been my my Bagger Vance.
He's a good caddy. He's very mild-mannered, even keeled. I'm sure he's very good on the back.
He didn't snap one. He joked multiple times. I let him use my iron, and he joked multiple times about breaking it in half, Jason Day style. Was it Jason Day?
Patrick Reed.
Okay, Patrick Reed. He made that joke multiple times, and I was... So, yeah, I need to figure out how to get out of this. I don't know what to do.
Well, you know what? You should watch more tips from baseball players like Yoenis Cespedes.
No, because when I bought the golf clubs at Dick's Sporting Goods, the salesman was like, "Did you ever play baseball?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, that's going to mess up your swing forever." Apparently, that's why I slice so much, because I go to the driving range, I just slice the shit out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with that. I mean, look how many of these pitchers and baseball players are really, really good at golf. It's because it's all about transferring the weight, keeping your hands back,
John Smoltz, baby. And releasing it the last second. How does his TV show ever go about golf? Does it ever take off?
John Smoltz had a TV show about golf?
I thought he had a TV show about golf.
No, he tried to qualify for the U.S. Open many times, and I think that ship has sailed. But, Steve, yeah, it was a really nice trip. I got to say, Pebble Beach, I did not play. I was only a spectator. But if you have a chance to go, definitely.
Actually been to Pebble Beach before.
Even, you know, if you're not on the course, just that area is pretty special.
I was
special.
On the course. Thank you very much. Not to brag. I went on vacation somewhere.
Well, Steve, now that you're toiling in corporate America, trying to play golf with the boys, having some martini lunches, welcome, I guess congratulations for entering the upper echelon.
Maybe you should
fund this podcast with your upper crust job now.
I am pretty wealthy. But I, like I was saying, I went on vacation someplace. I went to New Orleans.
How was that?
I hated it. I did not like it at all. It's very hot, and I didn't think the food was that good.
What was the highlight? Or was it just all lowlights?
The low light was every morning we stayed right off Bourbon Street, which I think was a problem, and they had like industrial waste trucks driving down the sidewalk, and they would just hose down the ground, like the sidewalk, every single morning.
That seems smart.
It does, but it's very weird being like in this very conservative part of the country, and then there's just like this lawless land where you can do whatever the hell you want. Very strange place.
Sounds like a southern Vegas, if you will. A bayou Vegas.
You can do riverboat gambling, so perhaps. And then I went to a gay wedding in Alabama. The same week, ironically, that the Mr. Ratburn episode of Arthur was banned, I went to a gay wedding in Alabama. So, joke's on you, Alabama.
Well, speaking of depressing news, the one news, that maybe, since we're on the topic, maybe we should start with it. What do you think of David Ortiz?
So, I didn't appreciate this when one night, the night of it happened, a friend of mine, who I used to work with, he texted me and he goes, "Are you in the Dominican Republic?" And I was like, "What kind of question is that?" And he was like, "Oh, because David Ortiz was just shot." Which I, like, do you really think I would shoot him? Like, no. That was what he was going for. But there's something very suspicious outside of, like, oh, Red Sox and everything. Very suspicious about this shooting. Where did you see the new part of it where he was like run off the road a couple weeks ago?
So the rumor with that was he knew he was being followed. He was very nervous, and it was a fire station, so they purposely crashed to, you know, get the firefighters to come out and help him and scare off the followers, right? Is that how the story goes?
Yeah, so... And then, like, the whole, like, big story... Only the New York Post has, like, brought this out, but, like, how he fucked, like, a drug lord's wife or something, which, I mean, I don't care if you're Big Poppy. There's certain things that are off limits, and drug lords' wives are definitely in that category.
Especially one with the nickname The Abuser.
The Abuser!
sounds like a nice gentleman.
Yeah, he sounds really pleasant. But, yeah. And I think it's... I have a theory on why that story has only been released by certain newspapers and why the Boston Globe, for example, hasn't had that story. Because the Boston Globe is owned by...
John Henry.
Mr. John Henry, the owner of Liverpool and some other team. I can't remember which one. But they flew him to an airport, or they flew him to a hospital, I believe. And they're not reporting. Because it's like, he's their Derek Jeter. He's like their clean... I mean, he did do steroids and everything, but for, besides that, he didn't mean he should get fucking shot. But they have to keep his story very clean, and it's very sad because he seems like a genuinely great person. That's like what's most messed up. But the fact that 10 people have been arrested now because of this tells me, you know, Poppy did something to really piss someone off. And this is the kind of behavior, like, if you told me a couple years ago, like, hey, A-Rod has a hit on a Dominican drug lord, you'd be like, oh, absolutely, that makes perfect sense. But David Ortiz, absolutely not.
Well, one wrinkle that came out of this whole thing was that Tiffany Ortiz, the longtime wife of David, who I believe they met when David was in the minor leagues, as the story goes, They're still together. I thought they broke up like a few years ago.
Oh, maybe the abuser thought that too. He's like,
people are
Mrs. Abuser, I should say.
Thought
that they were broken up.
Interesting. I had no idea. Yeah, the other, you called this out already. The fact that like 10 people have been arrested. I enjoyed the video of the getaway driver who was somehow
just getting kicked in the face. Dominican justice. It's a little different over there.
Very different.
If you're gonna get arrested anywhere, it turns out don't get arrested. Or if you do get arrested in the Dominican, don't have it because you tried to murder a god, basically. The video is legitimately terrifying though.
Yeah, he was just sitting in an outdoor cafe and the guy walks behind him, and what horrible aim though too. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, this is why you pay more than $8,000 for a hitman, apparently, because this guy, like, you know, David Ortiz is a giant. I mean, the bullet had to be high caliber to go completely through him and into another dude, but why are you aiming so low, bro? Like, I mean, this is a horrible joke, but, like, for real, like, if I'm the abuser, I'm just like, I'm pissed.
Very bad aim. Very bad aim. Much like the Yankees bullpen to David Ortiz over the years in the playoffs. Oh, hey.
Boone Logan. So, or Brian Bruni. Things like that. Those are players.
Yeah, sure. I believe that. Anyway, well, thoughts and prayers to Big Poppy.
I think he's fine. Is he okay? We haven't really... The Boston News has kind of shied away from it.
So from what last report was, he is in the hospital... His wife, a couple really like close people in the organization to him were able to say hello, but it doesn't sound like 100% out of the woods with, you know, maybe some of the rehab and recovery.
Tom Warner pushes in the TV with the VCR and just plays like The Cosby Show and Roseanne for David Ortiz. You want to laugh, Poppy?
Take me back to the Dominican.
Yeah. Did you see the rumor of not only like multiple women were fighting in the hospital?
Yeah,
David Ortiz is in surgery. Poppy, you gotta be careful, bro. It's a very weird situation.
Very odd, very odd. And again, obviously,
thoughts and prayers. But
thoughts and prayers.
This is some A-Rod level shit. Like A-Rod 2008 shit.
Yes. It's gonna be an interesting story someday. I can't wait to find out all the facts.
Oh, there's gonna be an amazing expose. Who was the guy who wrote the article about Terry Francona popping pills in the Holiday Inn on Beacon Street?
Holer
or Bob Holer? Bob Holer. He did the Aaron Hernandez podcast for the Boston Globe. He's gonna have an expose on the many women of David Ortiz. If you listen to the Aaron Hernandez podcast, you get that voice.
I did not like it.
It was horrible.
It was very bad.
This is Gladiator.
Guess what? Football's bad, and Darren Hernandez was a bad guy.
Who would have thought? Getting your head bashed in leads you to be a psychopath.
Well, anyway, not to keep it on Boston and New York news, but you know, obviously, got to get the David Ortiz news.
Is there anything else?
The other biggest news story was much more recent. Edwin Encarnacion traded from the Seattle Mariners to the New York Yankees. One quick thing I would like to point out, Steve, when the Seattle Mariners started off really hot to start the season, I believe I said they got good players.
You said
they
team got of good destiny. Players, Steve.
You know, they got guys like Edwin Encarnacion, and you laughed at me.
And Jay Bruce.
Laughed at me. And now, are you excited that you have Ed Wing on your team?
I am thrilled because they get Stanton back tomorrow. We're taping this on a Monday. Stanton comes back Tuesday. Judge is coming back like by the weekend when they're playing Houston. That is a combined, let me do the math, 140 homers between three people. Mm-hmm. You can't really beat that. The fact that they got him for a pitcher named Juan Thien, who apparently the Mariners traded to the Yankees for Nick Rumbelow, Hall of Fame caliber pitcher Nick Rumbelow. They traded Juan Thien for him, and then they released Nick Rumbelow last week, and mm-hmm. then traded Edwin Encarnacion for Juan Thien to get him back. Jerry DiPoto?
DiPoto, the old Angels general manager.
Yes, DiPoto, that's how you say it. Is he good? Is he like that fantasy manager, like in a league where he's just like, I need to make trades all the time? Like, didn't he have a blood clot in his lungs and he was like making trades?
The is he good talk.
Are the Mariners any good? Were the Angels ever any good under him?
Well, the Mariners were having a moment back in April.
Okay, so they won 8-3. Okay. Felix Hernandez is throwing 68 miles per hour.
The most interesting thing I saw about the Mariners is they're now on track to, I believe in 2022, have zero major league financial obligations.
That's for, something to hang your salary. Hat on. Do you get a banner for that? No financial obligations in 4 years, so you hang that from the Safeco rafters.
Yeah, that's something the Indianapolis Colts, I think, would use. But wrong sport, different sport. Seattle Mariners, yeah, I don't know what they're doing. It's a disaster. But what I really wanted to get to with this Encarnacion trade is, you know, the lineup for the Yankees now, a lot of power. But can you explain to me, maybe keep it brief, because I feel like this is something that the more passionate fans of ours have already read about. But I was just skimming this Clint Frazier stuff. So the guy like didn't want to talk to the media, but didn't. And then I look at the guy's numbers, and the guy was on fire for the last like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Why are Yankees fans so against a top prospect who's smashing the ball, 11 home runs, .280 average?
He had hair that was slightly long a couple years ago. And that's about it. And then he wears Nike Air Force Ones and puts spikes in them. That's not the Yankee way. But in all seriousness,
is that really what's over?
Oh yeah, they're just like, oh, he's the mature. Yeah, Vinny from Piscataway, they're like, no, yeah, he's not mature enough to be on the team. And I'm actually reading a very good book right now called Mission 27, which is Brian Hawk and Mark Feinsing of they were Yankee beats writers in 2009. And the entire book is basically about how Nick Swisher and Johnny Damon completely changed like the whole like life of a Yankee clubhouse, and then they won the World Series, and then it was like, that sounds like great in theory, and now they're just like, oh, let's get rid of anything with any character at all right now. So but at the same time, Frazier doesn't really have a spot with Stanton and Judge coming up.
Which I understand.
He's horrible in the outfield. Like, all kidding aside, he is a horrendous outfielder. And it's unfortunate because I personally think he seems like a completely normal, nice guy. And he's...
How old is he? Like 21?
24.
24?
I mean, and yeah, he was the crown jewel of the Andrew Miller trade from a couple years ago. And the other member of that, the Mariners got Justice Sheffield for James Paxton, and they just demoted him to Double A because he can't throw strikes anymore. So again, another home run for the Mariners. but anyway, it's just, he's in an unfortunate situation where he can't play center field, so that's Aaron Hicks, has no thing, and no matter how well he hit this year, he's not Stanton and he's not Judge. Like, and then with the DH, you have Encarnacion. Now everyone's talking about flipping Clint Frazier for like Madison Bumgarner. Hard pass on that. Like Madison Bumgarner 4 years ago, sure, not as a rental right now. And then Marcus Stroman, again, another hard pass. I don't want him going to the AL East. Mm-hmm. But then Encarnacion, he's on a 1 year deal. Like, he's expiring contract at the end of the season. Like, you can definitely keep Frazier around. It's just a logjam right now. He's in a shitty situation where he happens to have two MVP caliber players at his position. Like, that's okay. As simple as that.
Well, again, thoughts and prayers to Clint Frazier in his career.
Speaking of another... He has a really attractive girlfriend. For a guy as ugly as him, his Instagram, he has a very attractive girlfriend. You should look it up. She's in my wheelhouse. You know what I'm talking about there.
Shocking. moving on to another 24-year-old, at one point big-time prospect who we haven't really talked about in a long time.
Mike Granted,
because we haven't done the podcast in a long time. No. Lucas Giolito is on pace to be...
He changed his arm angle.
AL Cy Young winner. Changed his arm angle from worst to first. Second worst pitcher in baseball last year. He only had 125 strikeouts in 173 innings. He already has 95 strikeouts this year in 81 innings. 204 ERA plus. Last year, a 70 ERA plus. Unreal turnaround for this guy.
Well, do you remember who the Nationals traded him for?
Was it Clippard?
No, Spanky Eaton.
Spanky Eaton. Oh, horrible trade.
Horrible trade. And friend of the pod, Jesse, big time Nats fan. And every time Instagram updates with a picture of Giolito's stat line, he responds to it with being like, "Kill me," because the Nationals are now talking about selling freaking Max Scherzer because they can't do shit right now. But they got Spanky Eaton for arguably the best pitcher in the American League right now. It's pretty funny.
Fun fact about Lucas Giolito, his dad follows the Claw Thoughts Twitter account. So
Ooh.
Big fans of Lucas Giolito. We have been for a long time here. We never, ever talked badly about
And my Lucas. Father took a picture with Keith Law at one point. So It all comes full circle.
Very exciting. Lucas Giolito, incredible. Other starters who have turned it around recently.
You know what? I got beef with Giolito, though.
What's that?
When they played the Yankees this past weekend in Chicago, my main squeeze, Luke Voit, hit a home run off him in the first inning. Next time up, Giolito threw it at his head.
Ooh.
And Luke Voit's a pretty beefy boy. I would not throw... There are like a certain players you would not throw at. Like, if you're on the Yankees, like throw at DJ LeMahieu. Like, that's a scrawny guy. Don't throw at Luke Voit.
Bad idea.
Mark Masahiro Tanaka, complete game shutout against Tampa right now, by the way. Done deal. You don't see that anymore.
Real-time updates. Love it. Other stars who have turned around recently, definitely Chris Sale, back to Boston. I saw Yu Darvish the other day pitched best game of the year by far. One of the best via game scores, too. No walks, 10 strikeouts.
Do you believe in game score?
No, I mean, don't like the Saber nerd say, like, it's not that accurate. But at the end of the day, if you look at the top game scores and then you used like the other advanced metrics, I mean, they're still like very good games that they've pitched.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's essentially like not letting guys on base and striking out a lot of people, which rates well in any metric that you look at.
Sure.
I think who else?
So two pitchers have done well.
No, I'm saying guys who've turned it around.
Marcus Stroman, he's been pretty okay, I think.
His last couple starts haven't been as great, but yeah, he's been better this
Killing
year.
Killing his trade value.
Strasburg, I would say, would be a big contender for, kind of riding the ship.
Flip side, anyone who plays for the Mets.
Hyunjin Ryu, he's going to break on pace to destroy Phil Hughes's strikeouts to walk ratio.
He is a beefy fella.
Eating a lot of Korean delicacies.
Koreatown in L.A.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, there's your pitcher update on 2019 pitchers. And then, speaking of Los Angeles players, we got another one here. Shohei Ohtani. Cycle.
It is incredible how that guy has a messed up elbow, basically.
He's been clubbing home runs lately.
And he has that sweet oppo field power, too. He's got that great swing where it's like almost like the Japanese guys, like Matsui had this, and like Ichiro obviously had it, where they like the lefties almost like bail out.
Yep.
But it goes
400 feet.
I don't understand how it works. Like, I don't know what they teach him over there. Like, Yeah, Matsui had that, and then Ohtani has that too. And Ichiro had like the extreme one, but you know what they say, that Ichiro could have hit a home run every at bat if he wanted to.
Oh yeah, of course.
But that's just him. But it's really stupid. And then you think about in next year, hopefully he's back to throwing 100 miles per hour. Like, what a wild talent that guy is.
Pretty crazy, pretty crazy. The other crazy story of the year, I guess, so far.
The Miami Marlins.
I guess the game or the weeks that we missed was really when the Twins had their incredible run. Twins, arguably one of the top three teams in baseball right now.
The top team. Best record in baseball.
Best record in baseball. Byron Buxton being a big part of that, the former top pick. Just all-around five-tool player, as it were. Steal stolen bases, defense, and he's found pop with 9 home runs this year.
Elite defense.
Elite defense. Pretty cool.
There was talks of him like trading him, like selling like insanely low on him in the offseason, and I'm sure Minnesota. Rocco Baldelli, the pride of Rhode Island.
Wound socket
boy. It kind of tells you, like, I always think these with like when a team dumps their manager and then all of a sudden they become really good. Like, how shitty was Paul Molitor as a manager? I mean, they went to a wild card game once.
Well, it's happened pretty recently, right? With Bobby Valentine and...
please!
What? Am I not wrong there?
I guess technically you're right, but I feel like there should be an asterisk next to that because they were supposed to be a good team. They didn't like NBA, playing Sunday Night Baseball. It wasn't fair.
NBA Dwayne Casey to Nick Nurse.
That's a little basketball for you.
I feel like hockey, that happens a lot too.
Who
right?
gives a fuck about hockey for real? Like, who cares? And I'm not saying that because I live in Boston and the Bruins lost. I just genuinely do not care. I was pretty happy that the Bruins lost. These stupid ass fans need to get knocked down a peg.
You sound like one of your Facebook friends who's constantly bragging about Boston sports on Facebook right now.
Yeah, except the refs are always against them, and everyone's always haters because they ain't us, stuff like that.
Of course. We still here.
We still anyway. Here. We're polishing our Super Bowl trophies, our Lombardis, if you will, for those people who've never touched one.
We have done a lot of winning. We are champions, Steve. You cannot deny that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Steve, we are approaching the 30-minute mark. If you like what you've heard, follow us on Twitter, Pepper_Lad. We have been tweeting despite our hiatus, like we talked about at the top of the show. We're hoping to get back into a somewhat more regular schedule now that all the other four major sports are off the air.
What can you commit baseball, to? What can you
and,
commit to?
I don't know if you saw, what's that game that you play on the spike ball, right? With the that was broadcast over ESPN on the weekend.
Spike ball? I saw like,
you've never seen spike ball.
I saw college cornhole on like ESPN, like one of the high ESPN numbers. My father-in-law was here, and we watched college cornhole together.
See, if baseball can't beat these sports, Rob Manfred,
well, he's a legit beef with baseball. Why on a Saturday afternoon in the summer is there like one game that starts at 4 and then 13 games that start at 7 p.m.?
I was thinking about not that topic in general, but I was thinking about just baseball a lot over the last couple weeks. And I've been my
fantasy. You just sit on the edge of your bed just staring off at the wall being like, baseball.
Yeah, you know, it's very romantic, very yeah, you know, Mitch Albom-esque.
You're regular Bob Costas over here.
So, my whole thought.
You have a cold going on there.
Yeah, it was a little chilly in Northern California. Oh. The wine, the overconsumption of wine mixed with the.
Did you go to Carmel?
Chilly temperatures. Went through it. Yeah, quick stop there. With baseball, I feel like it's become more fun to dissect everything that's wrong with the game that is to actually kind of sit down and watch a game and you know, this whole notion.
You think it's
like,
fine that they play all Saturday games are at 7 p.m.? I think that's the stupidest thing.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. I think, you know, the game itself doesn't need to change. I think there's a lot of things around the game that they could be changing to be more competitive against all these other sports.
I think baseball is fun as hell now. We have young players who throw hard and hit huge dingers. What's
it's
there not
really
to like?
Good. It's very good right now. They're really good athletes. It's really fun, but I do think it's been mismanaged, mismarketed. They've got a hole they got to dig themselves out of. But that's kind of what I'm talking about. Is that, like, you could spend more time talking about that stuff than you could, you know, anything else really.
Do you think Manfred's the worst commissioner in sports? Out of the four major sports, you think he's the worst one? They're playing in London next week. Remember that.
No, I would say Gary Bettman, right? I mean, I guess hockey is still the laggard.
Who cares about hockey?
All right, so are you saying, like, versus the NBA and versus
NBA
the NFL?
NBA and NFL.
If baseball's truly headed towards a labor strike or labor
which
disruption,
they 100% should be,
then yes, 100% yes, he's the worst. So
I agree. I think he's worse than Goodell, which is the most insane statement ever.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Steve, like I said, this is like what's bad about it. It's like it's more fun to like pick on this stuff, and then you just get left with this bad taste in your mouth because it's not talking about the actual game, which we have a lot of great stars, young stars, old stars, everything in between that we just talked about.
Sure.
Well, that's Steve. Show number 238. 230-something is in the books here. Again, if you like what you heard, rate, listen, subscribe, follow us on Twitter, pepper_loud. Steve, any words for the people here as we leave them on June 17th?
I would really appreciate it if people engaged with me on Twitter more. When I think I've put like really good like conversation points as my tweets, and just left with crickets. I get a claw thoughts like from it. That like half counts, so I'm begging the people. Let's get the conversation going.
Join the conversation. Trevor Bauer, play us out. Out there about my reputation, says you don't know me. Nope. You don't know me. Why not? You judge me on appearance, you don't judge me on my merits, cause you don't know me. Nope. You don't know me. Why not? You hide behind a mask to facilitate attacks, but you don't know me. You won't know me.